everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I was watching a video on MormonNewsroom.org, and it's called A Day in the Life of a Mormon Missionary in London. The video tells the story of four missionaries, two men and two women, who are serving as missionaries of the church in London. And a lot of people listening know what missionaries do, but a lot of people probably don't know what missionaries do all day long. To be honest, even as a member of the church for a lot of years before I served a mission, I didn't fully understand the daily schedule of a missionary until I was one. So it's kind of helpful. This video talks about their daily schedule, how they teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's community service that each missionary gives a certain amount of time in the week. There's time spent studying the scriptures and also exercising. And the video talks about some of the community service they give. One of the ways that the sisters serve is to teach English. And I remember we did that when I served as a missionary in South America. We taught English to the people, and it was no strings attached. They didn't have to join the church, but it was just a non-threatening way for them to get to know us and for us to be able to serve them in some way by teaching them English. And we loved it. We had a great time doing it. Even if they never wanted to learn more about the gospel, we still loved getting to know the people. Anyway, so that was kind of fun to see a video on a day in the life of a missionary. Today, I have a couple of really great stories from President Irene that I wanted to share with you. And I wanted to start off by explaining the background behind them. Someone actually asked me to do an episode on being single in the church. And I know there's a large population that is not married or is perhaps divorced or widowed. And I know there really are a lot of us out there. So I haven't dedicated this whole episode to being single, but it is on the back of my mind to do something that might be appealing to those of us who are single and might give a little bit of comfort. But if you're not single, hold on. I've got something for you, too. I decided to broaden it just a little bit so that this story could be applicable for all of us and help. So there are two stories from President Irene, and he's in the first presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I wanted to play those for you. The first one is about a work situation that he had where things went a little unexpected from what he had planned for his life. And this comes from an article entitled, Where is the Pavilion? And it's from General Conference from October 2012. And I'm going to play that for you in his own words now.
In the early years of my career, I worked hard to secure a tenured professorship at Stanford University. I thought I had made a good life for myself and for my family. We lived close to my wife's parents in very comfortable surroundings. By the world's standards, I had achieved success. But I was given by the church the chance to leave California and go to Ricks College in Rexburg, Idaho. My lifetime professional objectives might have been a pavilion dividing me from a loving father who knew better than I did what my future could hold. But I was blessed to know that whatever success I had in my career and family life to that point was a gift from God. And so, like a child, I knelt in prayer to ask what I should do. I was able to hear a quiet voice in my mind that said, "It's my school." There was no pavilion shielding me from God. In faith and humility, I submitted my will to His and felt His care and closeness. My years at Ricks College, during which I tried to seek God's will and do it, kept the pavilion from covering me or obscuring God's active role in my life. As I sought to do His work, I felt close to Him and felt assurance that He knew of my affairs and cared deeply for my happiness. But as they had at Stanford, worldly motivations began to present themselves to me. One was an attractive job offer extended just as I was finishing my fifth year as president of Ricks College. I considered the offer, prayed about it, and even discussed it with the first presidency. They responded with warmth and a little humor, but certainly not with any direction. President Spencer W. Kimball listened to me describe the offer I had received from a large corporation and said, "Well, Hal, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And if we ever needed you, we'd know where to find you." They would have known where to find me, but my desires for professional success might have created a pavilion that would make it hard for me to find God, and harder for me to listen to and follow his invitations. My wife, sensing I had a strong impression, but she felt that we were not to leave Rick's College. I said, "That's good enough for me." But she insisted wisely that I must get my own revelation. And so I prayed again. This time I did receive direction in the form of a voice in my mind that said, "I'll let you stay at Rick's College a little longer." My personal ambitions might have clouded my view of reality and made it hard for me to receive revelation. 30 days after I was blessed with the inspired decision to turn down the job offer and stay at Rick's College, the Teton Dam burst nearby. God knew that dam would burst and that hundreds of people would need help. He let me seek counsel and gain his permission to stay at Rick's College. He knew all the reasons that my service might still be valuable at the college and in Rexburg. So I was there to ask Heavenly Father frequently in prayer that he would have me do those things that would help the people whose property and lives had been damaged. I spent hours working with other people to clear mud and water from homes. My desire to know and do his will gave me a soul-stretching opportunity. That incident illustrates another way we can create a barrier to knowing God's will or feeling his love for us. We can't insist on our timetable when the Lord has his own. I thought I had spent enough time in my service in Rexburg and was in a hurry to move on. Sometimes our insistence on acting according to our own timetable can obscure his will for us.
Isn't that a great story about submitting our will to our Father in heavens and trusting in his timing and in his decisions for our lives? A little bit later in that same talk, President Eyring says, "We remove the pavilion when we feel and pray, 'Thy will be done, and in thine own time.' His time should be soon enough for us, since we know that he wants only what is best." President Eyring tells one more story in that talk, and I want to play that for you now.
One of my daughters-in-law spent many years feeling that God had placed a pavilion over her. She was a young mother of three who longed for more children. After two miscarriages, her prayers of pleading grew anguished. As more barren years passed, she felt tempted to anger. When her youngest went off to school, the emptiness of her house seemed to mock her focus on motherhood. So did the unplanned and even unwanted pregnancies of acquaintances. She felt as committed and consecrated as Mary, who declared, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." But although she spoke these words in her heart, she could hear nothing in reply. Hoping to lift her spirits, her husband invited her to join him on a business trip to California. While he attended meetings, she walked along the beautiful empty beach, her heart ready to burst. She prayed aloud. For the first time, she asked not for another child, but for a divine errand. "Heavenly Father," she cried, "I will give you all of my time. Please show me how to fill it." She expressed her willingness to take her family wherever they might be required to go. That prayer produced an unexpected feeling of peace. It did not satisfy her mind's craving for certainty, but for the first time in years, it calmed her heart. The prayer removed the pavilion and opened the windows of heaven. Within 2 weeks, she learned that she was expecting a child. The new baby was just 1 year old when a mission call came to my son and my daughter-in-law. Having promised to go and do anything, anywhere, she put her fear aside and took her children overseas. In the mission field, she had another child on a missionary transfer day. Submitting fully to heaven's will, as this young mother did, is essential to removing the spiritual pavilions we sometimes put over our heads. But it does not guarantee immediate answers to our prayers.
Isn't that a great story about his daughter-in-law? That really touched me when I read that this time, because she prays a specific prayer. She asks for a divine errand. And I think if our life maybe isn't what we had initially planned, maybe we can all ask our Father in heaven, what is it that you want me to do? What is my divine errand? Or in other words, what is the mission that he wants us to fulfill on this earth? And the sooner we figure it out and can start moving forward towards it, I think the happier that we can be. It seems like the key in life, whether we're single or married, or we can't have children, or whatever our own trial may be, every one of us has something. We all have our own unique trial that we've been given in this life. But it seems like the test is, can we submit our wills to God? As we do that, I think we find greater joy and peace in trusting Him. And I think also that our relationship with our Father in heaven can deepen and grow as we learn to submit. I'm not saying I'm there yet. This is a struggle for me just as much as it is for all of us, I'm sure. It's a constant battle. But the point is that He has placed us here to succeed, and we can pass that test. It's my prayer for us today that we can all do that. We are all on this journey together as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. May He bless you in your efforts as you try to serve Him and submit to His will today is my prayer. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions or stories or comments that you want to share with me, please feel free to send them to me at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall or send us an email on Facebook as well. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I'd like to leave you with today is Abide With Me, featuring Kurt Bester. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Have a wonderful day.